I was fortunate to work for a CEO who was on a bit of his own journey, and he came across the methodology we use at the Rewild Group today. And he took that concept, used, or really partnered with the leadership team in the organization to take these concepts and try them in our business.
Welcome to the Social Fabric podcast with me, Andrea Splendori, and this week my guest is Madeline Dunlap. Madeline is a business strategist with the Rewild Group. The music in this podcast has been shortened for rights reasons. Please subscribe, share, and review. It's the only way podcasts like this have a chance to survive. The show is also broadcast weekly on Near FM every Monday afternoon. The title tune is Alice by Lucky Bones.
Can I call you up, oh Alice, on a Friday night? We could reminisce on old days and we could talk a while. Just sit and talk a while.
And yes, you're most welcome. First of all, where are you joining me from?
So we're in Denver, Colorado. Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And I love Denver. I was talking to a friend yesterday. We were reminiscing about Winter Park. What a beautiful place.
Yes. Yes. Gorgeous. We have a condo that we frequent near Winter Park in Granby. It's basically halfway between Winter Park and Grand Lake. Gorgeous area.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, Madeline, first of all, thanks a million for joining me. And I'm really curious about you. That's why I do this podcast, because I'm always curious about people, what people do, but also who they are. And really, that's really where we're going to have a conversation around a few different things. And then I'd like to know all about the Rewild Group, which is quite a fascinating. I read a little bit about it, but I'd like to know more from you. So first of all, who are you? Who is Madeline? You know, who am I talking to?
Oh my goodness. What a big question. A simple one, but a big one. You know, we all get to play a lot of roles and wear a lot of hats in life. For me right now, I think the biggest focuses are I'm a wife, you know, married my high school sweetheart. And that's a very important relationship. We were both born and raised in Colorado, and I'm a mom. So we've got three young girls. Arabella is going to be 8 soon, 6 and 4. So that's that kind of, we're in that phase of life where it's busy, it's messy. There's a lot of learning always happening. And then I get to wear an entrepreneurial hat. So I have a number of business ventures, both with my family, with my husband. And in my daytime 9 to 5, I get to be the director of business development here at the Rewild Group. And that really kind of all of these things are pieces of a passion I have for impacting the world, both with my family and then also through businesses. That's really where I spend my time and my energy is with small and mid-sized businesses and helping them thrive in a way that allows them to go home and enjoy their families.
That's wonderful. And that's how we kind of got in touch with each other over LinkedIn for the kind of shared passion of helping each other, podcasting and anything around that. But I love what you said, you know, You married your high school sweetheart. Tell me a bit more about that, because that's a wonderful one. You know, it doesn't happen every day, but I hear occasionally. I'd like to know a little bit more, if that's okay.
Yeah. So let's see. We met in high school gym class freshman year. We both neither of us were actually supposed to attend the school that we went to, but for me, it was closer to where we lived in an easier commute. And for my husband, Troy, he was a wrestler and was a big wrestling school. And so he commuted from about 25 minutes away to come over and go to school there. And went through high school. After high school, he joined the Marine Corps and moved to California, did 2 combat deployments while I was going to college here in Colorado. Yeah, I'm sure I could write a book for that phase of life, but gave us a really good, unique perspective being married so young. We got married, you know, right after high school, basically. I think marriage is hard at any age, but, you know, there's things that made it harder and things that made it easier about being young and being married. But I think it is the most important relationship you have. It is an organization, like your family is an organization, and we invest a lot in growing our businesses and bettering our businesses. But I try to take maybe even more of a focus of building and investing in and improving my relationship with my husband as we are growing our own little organization of people.
That's wonderful. You describe yourself as along with all the other wonderful things you do, as a military wife. Now, I'm based in Ireland. We are a neutral country. We do have a military force. However, it mostly is peace work that our army do. But you just mentioned a couple of deployments, and I don't need the details. But what is it like to be sitting at home and knowing that your husband is out there doing, don't know, it's, you know, he's not doing the 9-to-5. He's not getting in the car and going and press some buttons on the laptop.
What is it like? For me personally, I'm a very type A personality. I like to be organized and control, have a plan. And that was a big shakeup for me. It also though, it really helped me come to grips with this reality that exists, whether or not you want it to, that there are things outside of your control. So I worked two jobs. I went to school full time. I just kept myself busy with the things that I could control, the things I could impact. And it's fun because we have a box of letters that we would send back and forth, because for much of his deployment, because he was in infantry, he was in, you know, active combat situations. He didn't have access to a phone. So most of our communication for both of those deployments was through written letters that would take about 3 to 4 weeks to get from either me to him or him back to me. It almost felt like an alternate reality when you compare it with what we do today, right? Everyone has cell phones, text messaging. I mean, you're always able to get a hold of anyone, and to have that lag in communication was a very interesting experience.
Well, it sounds wonderful. I can't remember last time I've written a letter. I write all the time, but I can't remember last time I've written a letter. Well, apart from obviously being away from your husband, which obviously was difficult, but that experience of writing, what did it teach you? You know, as you say, you can write a message, an SMS now. Come home, right. Dinner's ready. Where are you? You know, dinner's going cold and that's done. But, you know, what was that experience like?
It was, I don't know, the world just turned slower. You know, you'd write things and still you want to include the day-to-day life. But it was interesting. It was like, well, what's going to matter a month from now? You know, what do you communicate that's going to stay the same 3 weeks from now, and 3 to 4 weeks for him to get a letter, and then 3 to 4 weeks for it to come back. So a month and a half later, you know, what's going to matter? It gives you, I mean, perspective, if I had to boil everything down, and it's boiling a lot down, but I'd say that experience gave me perspective. And it taught me how to relinquish control of the things I don't have control over, and to focus on and invest your time and energy in the things that you can.
Wonderful. Yeah. I must say, it just got me thinking that I probably should start to write to some of my friends far away. Maybe it's a good idea to start again and slow down a little bit.
Yeah, putting pen to paper. I mean, it's good. You know, we do like, it's just like journaling or taking moments to not type or document things on your screen, but to really put pen to paper. I'd say it has all of those advantages. But again, it takes a while to get there.
Yeah, and sorry to dwell on this, but I find it fascinating because it's some of the work I do in the coaching and leadership work I do, I use a lot of the autobiography and the journey of what you're talking about for the clients to take time to write down. But the journaling and the autobiography idea is always kind of, it's something we do for ourselves. Nobody else is going to see and so on. But when you start to write to somebody else, it's a different ballgame because all of a sudden you need to really know what you're saying and making sure that those words are really important and to the other person. And obviously in your husband, in your case, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Fascinating. But as you know, I always ask for a couple of songs just to get to understand. So let's start with your first songs. What did you pick and why did you pick it?
Okay. Well, I have my phone right here and I'm going to pull them up. I was thinking of that this morning. So one of the songs I would have to choose, and this is maybe a more of a collection, but we, with the young kids, we've been listening to the Greatest Showman soundtrack. Lots of energy, lots of characters. You know, it's fun to be able to share music with your kids. And so driving in the cars, we've been listening to the Greatest Showman soundtrack, and what a fun and fascinating upbeat energy those songs bring. So that's more of a soundtrack, but I'd put that one on the list.
Brilliant. It's interesting. It's quite a few people have picked that soundtrack and the song. Yeah. I haven't seen the movie yet. I better go and watch one of these days.
It's a very entertaining show.
Now, you mentioned your kids a few times and sounds wonderful. You know, you're at an interesting age. It's all ahead of you. As older people like me, they will tell you continuously. But when I ask you who you are, you mentioned a few different hats that you wear. So tell me how you bring, and we'll get to your business in a second. I'm really interested. But when you come home and you know, and you have your three kids, you have to feed them, you have to do the homework, all of the things you do as a mother, you know, to give out to them because they've done something wrong or whatever. How do you think that, are you able to take that hat off from the Rewild group and from the strategists and the business strategy and be Madeline the mom? Or do you bring that in the house sometimes? And how does that work?
So I don't think that I take those hats off. And I'm generally not good at compartmentalizing things. And so I think it goes both ways, honestly. Wearing my business growth, business strategy hat, there are things I've learned about business, which a lot of business is about how you engage with people. And I take a lot of those concepts home. It's in a very small and elementary way, but things like, for example, values. We talk a lot about values in the work I do, and we also talk a lot about values at home at age-appropriate levels. But what are our values as a family, and how does that play into the decisions that we make? You know, most recently, my oldest is at an age where she's really interested in a lot of extracurricular activities. And so just talking about how make the decisions that we make as we consider these opportunities, how that has to be in alignment with what our overall goals are as a family, and that she's part of that. And even if she wants, you know, to do these 15 different things, how does that impact everybody else? So I don't, you know, of course it's different. Mom hat is different than business development, but I find that I learn a lot both at home that helps me at work and at work that helps me at home.
Yeah, that is interesting because especially with kids, sometimes the question they ask you really need to have an answer, right? As opposed to the an executive that it might ask you a question. Do you find that a helpful, like, why not? Yeah, why not? Can I not do it? How do you answer that?
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. You can't show too much weakness, or they sniff that out of you. Well, why? That doesn't make sense, Mom. So collaboration, I think, is a big thing for young kids, helping them feel involved and contributing, helping them develop skills. A lot of these things, really, when you think about, and if, I'm not trying to make them the same thing, because they're definitely unique, but I'm always for making things, the easiest path and being as pragmatic as possible. And so if I'm learning something over here, there's no reason I wouldn't take those insights and apply them in my other roles.
Wow. It's great. It's a great way. There's a lot of talks about schools trying to introduce, this type of idea, talking about values, talking about strengths and, as opposed to keep banging on about weaknesses. There's a lot of talks, but it's great that you're doing it at home. Was that something that you had as a child? Was that something that was brought to you in the family, in your family? Was that the same upbringing that you're developing?
Yeah, I had an amazing childhood, amazing parents, very entrepreneurial, came from really, really humble beginnings. And so I think a lot of what I do with my children does emulate what I had as a child. I have the fortune, though, of having benefited from all of that learning. And so, I feel like I'm starting with a lot more knowledge my parents had. But values, specifically values, were always important. But being able to, have these life skills, being able to communicate, being able to collaborate with other people, being able to have, right now we're working on writing and recognizing letters, but being able to build skills that make you competent and able to rely on yourself to contribute to the organization. We talk a lot about contributing to our family. The girls call it the family team. We're on a family team. And so, when we're setting out to, whether it's dinner or it's, household chores, what role is everyone going to play? And talking about what each of them, some things are easier for one or the other of them. And that's okay, because then their sisters have other strengths, and teaching them how to collaborate and work together and see goals and overcome hard challenges. It's been a very interesting time for me to be focused on organizational development while I have kids that are in this development age. Kids are always growing, but in those young years, it's so rapid. There's so much they're learning. There's so much they're absorbing. And they can change and they can absorb so much and so quickly that the principles, the similarities or the parallels are remarkable. And it's fun for me.
Yeah, it's really fascinating when you're talking about how you organize, and I can just picture the kitchen, setting the tables and filling the water, small things, but big things, if everybody has to do it, you have to stop watching the cartoon and get up and do your bit, right? And it's the same as any organization. But what do you think, and I say I will get your work, but this is fascinating.
Okay.
And it is part, it's obviously what you bring to the table when you work with organizations. But what do you think has been the most, what it is? It's obviously an ongoing thing with your children. What is that you think is the most that they're learning from this? What do you think they're going to take out of this? What the most important skill, that they did?
My hope is that they're capable. They grow up to have a level of competence and a level of confidence that is in alignment with reality, that they don't have to know everything, but they have the mindset and the ability to go and learn new things. I shudder when I go to establishments, you know, in our local town, and just see a lack of ability and confidence in the young employees that are working there. That is, I've got a lot of passions in life, but we have to be growing our young people to be able to contribute successfully. And that when I look at that reality that I see in service areas in our hometown, that's something that is at the forefront of my mind. Again, I have a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, so they're not out there in the workforce. But you're right. The things like, you know, sorting out laundry or putting away shoes or getting out cups and filling them with water. I don't want them to just be confident. I want them to be capable. And it starts from really, I think, you know, come back to me in 25 years and see if it worked. But it comes from them being expected to contribute and then actually meaningfully contributing at their own age level, as is appropriate, but really contributing. And when we get into an organization, it's the same thing. We want to create a place where people are positioned to contribute in a way that is in alignment with what their strengths are, where they feel fulfilled, and in a way that benefits the business. And so as I'm in that world, I'm looking at my children and saying, I want to make sure I set them up so that whatever they decided to do in life, whatever that is, with an organization, just at home with their own family organization, to me, it doesn't really make a difference, but that they have been set up to meaningfully contribute. And in that, that they have a level of satisfaction in what they're able to, they can say, look, I did this. And that's where that confidence comes in.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. The other thing it made me think is the fact that you can also understand that you're part of something, that you can actually ask for help when your capability, yes. You know, your limits, but you also know that you can go beyond and with some help. Perhaps the 4-year-old can't reach the faucet, so perhaps has to ask for help to fill the cup, you know, and that's as simple as that. But asking for it is really important. Wonderful. Sounds great. I will come back to you in 20 years' time and see how we're doing. So, Madeline, tell me about your second song before we get into the Rewild group and everything else you're doing.
So, a second song that I've been kind of on repeat is called Build the Boat by Colton Dixon. Mm. And it talks about being faithful and working, continuing on in your journey, even when you aren't necessarily seeing the returns right then. That even when it alludes to the story in the Bible of Noah building the ark, and this idea that, you know, as you're building, it can be periods of dryness where you don't see rain, and yet you continue on and you have faith and conviction in the work you're doing. And that's been an important song for me recently, because there are just days where you are tired, where you aren't getting the results that you're wanting. And yet you know that the consistency is critical to getting where you want to go. So that one's been on repeat when the kids aren't there, when we're not listening to The Greatest Showman.
I've been wandering through the desert, ain't seen a cloud in forever over me, but I believe your rain is coming. I've been hanging on to high hopes, 'cause you're the one who's making dry bones come to life. You're the light I put my trust in. Every word you say is gonna come true. You will lead me to the
promise. Sounds insane. I like that. I like the, you know, that you on dry days you're wondering why you're doing what you're doing. But I guess that's your why, right? Your why you're doing this, what keeps you going. So your why, so the Rewild group, as I say, you have a few different hats, but this is one thing that you're now currently doing with the Rewild group. And it's a fascinating idea. As I say, I read a few things and I love the analogy with the Yellowstone and you know, releasing the gray wolf back. And I hope if anybody hasn't seen it, it's well worth going on YouTube and look what Yellowstone is. That's a wonderful video, a few minutes showing the impact that the wolves have had since they've been reintroduced. So tell me a bit about the Rewild group. How did you get into it and what do you do?
Yeah, so my story with the Rewild group actually predates the Rewild group itself. So the Rewild group really helps organizations, small and mid-sized businesses, grow. And it's not this focus on, well, we're going to get you more leads, or it's not a business development focus. It's really an organizational development focus. I was a new manager out of college. I'd invested all my time, resources, right? While I had a husband deployed, I was getting my degree. And I had my first managerial position. And I had this moment where I realized I didn't actually know how to help the business be successful. And that was this scary moment for me because I had done the things. I had the pieces of papers that said that I had the degrees in business and in economics and business analytics. Like, I should have had this knowledge, but I didn't. I didn't know how I could help the business be successful. And I was fortunate to work for a CEO who was on a bit of his own journey, and he came across the methodology we use at the Rewild Group today. And he took that concept, partnered with the leadership team in the organization to take these concepts and try them in our business. And it worked. We had plateaued in years prior. We were growing in number of people, we were growing in our annual revenue, we were also improving profitability, and we were strengthening the culture. Of course, that's something challenging to put a number on, but we basically reduced turnover to virtually zero. We weren't losing people. And so each of those things is hard to do in and of themselves, but we were doing them in parallel. And that is extremely challenging to do, but it wasn't because we were exceptionally talented. I mean, we had a great team, but we just knew the things we needed to focus on. Fast forward a little bit, that business was acquired. The CEO that introduced me to these concepts founded the Rewild Group, acquired the IP that helped him so much, and gave me an opportunity to come on board the Rewild Group since I had seen what it had done for organizations. So I mentioned that my background, educationally at least, is in business analytics, decision sciences, economics, not in business development. But my title is Director of Business Development at the Rewild Group. And that's simply because there's a lot of hats to wear in a small business. And because I have a passion for what this does for organizations, I have figured out how to develop business for the organization. And we spend our time working with small businesses, mid-sized businesses, usually the leadership team. And a lot of how we do that is through certifying coaches and consultants in the methodology and supporting them as they go out and impact businesses. Because when we founded the Rewild Group, the focus was on multiplying the number of exceptional businesses. We wanted to take this and get it out, this information that transformed the business we were struggling to grow. We wanted to take that out to as many people as we could. And the method we decided to use was partnering with business consultants and business coaches around the globe to learn and use the methodology.
Brilliant. So your mission is to multiply the number of exceptional businesses globally. I underlined exceptional. I'm just curious, what is an exceptional business?
Yeah, to us, it is a high functioning and highly profitable business. High functioning means that it's a good place to work. People are engaged. They enjoy and are growing there. They're growing your business. You're offering and creating value to your shareholders and your clients. And you are working in in partnership with vendors, the thing we see, and I think a lot of people in our space see this, is that a business, this one business, there's a lot of people in there. And all those people have families. And that all impacts. And then the business also has clients, and they have shareholders, and they have vendors, and those people all have families. So if you can influence and impact this business, that's how you impact communities. That's how you impact, you know, the world at large, truly, as the ripple effect, just like the wolves in Yellowstone, as the ripple effect starts. So if you can, which we believe we do, we have this methodology that can help the business. If we can help the business, there's a lot of good that comes from that.
Mm. Yeah. And I love another line that you have on your website is that work is fundamental of human existence, which I think it is. You know, a lot of times we say, and when I work with my clients, I say, you know, I'm looking for a work-life balance. And I always say, and we're not talking about life balance, you know, what is the difference between the two? You know, because that's what I was asking you, you know, with your busy life, but that's what I was asking about dropping the hats, when are you, you know, but if your ripple effect back home is good, then you don't necessarily have to take your hat off immediately as you walk home. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a good point, because I've had the pleasure of working for what I would say are exceptional businesses. And so there's no need for me to take, it's not this daunting, exhausting hat that I bring home. It's this energized, excited, and I shouldn't paint it in, you know, with rose colored glasses, because there's lots of challenging days. This has not been we haven't grown this business, even having this methodology, without bumps in the road. But there is a difference between a business that is adding value and making you a better version of yourself versus a business that, when you go to work, you truly feel like you're losing yourself. You truly feel like it's detracting from the person that you are. And when you go home, you're a lesser version of yourself. And that is when you want to take off that hat and throw it as far as you can until you have to put it back on the next day.
Mm. It's really interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of talks around this concept, these ideas of late. And I mean, probably it's been there for a while, but more and more companies are starting to see the, you know, you call it the natural talent, you know, the human talent. There's all sorts of language used, you know, human capital, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We use so many different things. But have you noticed that, do you work, first of all, I know you globally, because I noticed this is one of your certified coaches in Ireland, for example, and different Europe and what have you. Have you noticed geographically, have you noticed more, like, I'm assuming, let me rephrase the question. I have a company and I feel that we're struggling a little bit in different areas. I come work with you. I ask you guys to come in and help me out. You will look at the company as an organization, as an organism, to make sure that we don't just become more profitable, but we go home with a smile, for wanting a better word, that we just have it, you know, that Andrea has a talent in, you know, doing the dishes, and he's going to be used to doing the dishes instead of doing something else. That's am I correct? That's what you're doing. You're looking at it at the whole, at the company, making sure that everybody grows and develops and uses the natural talents. So have you noticed geographically more or less interest in what you offer?
That's a really interesting question. So you're correct that we look at the organization as a whole, and we look at areas of infrastructure, of leadership, of culture and strategy. And one of the big things one of our philosophies is that we're not trying to go in and replace everything that the business is doing well. We want to instead identify the missing element, a nod back to the idea of rewilding. We want to see what's missing and work there. And so what a program would look like for one business could look different for another. But as far as, do we see interest being different, I would say internationally, there have been a number of areas I think Ireland really being one of them, but Australia even, where there is a, there's interest in really developing a mid-size business market. It's something that I hadn't realized, but that not, you know, in the US, middle kind of mid-sized businesses for us, that's probably, I mean, this is loose here, but maybe 50 employees up to 500 employees. That's a very common type business in the US, but it isn't necessarily in other economies. And so I think that there has been this unique engagement with small businesses, one to 40, one to maybe even smaller than that, one to 20, that are looking to scale in other countries. That's definitely true. You know, the US is, entrepreneurialism is always thriving in the US. So there's a lot of interest. And of course, that's where our, you know, where the headquarters exists. So there's, I think there's a natural tendency to have more of a hype around it here in the US, but we just this last week certified our first advisor in Israel. We have an advisor in India who is on fire and engaged in bringing this to the small businesses in India. So I feel like we're at the beginning. So these are more of kind of senses that I'm getting, but you'll have to, so you're going to come back to me in 20 years on the kids, come back to me maybe in 3 years and I'll tell you, you know, I'll give you an update.
It sounds wonderful. And the reason I was asking that question is because a lot of the changes we're seeing at the moment, and we hear a lot about the 4 day a week and working remotely, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of it comes from the States, right? Or at least there's a certain amount of it, information. And you know, so that's really where my question was coming from, because obviously an entrepreneur do anything it can or she can to succeed, but sometimes the stumbling block of whatever is out there. So that was literally out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Asking another quick question about your seven stages of growth methodology. Yeah. And I don't want you to go, I don't need you to go into through all of that, but you mentioned the flood zones and the wind tunnels. And there's something that I never heard of it. And I'm just curious about it. And when I was reading that, I said, okay, rewilding Yellowstone, flood zones. It's just curious.
Yeah, it's this, you know, flood zones and wind tunnels, we call them transition zones, are the period where a business is transitioning from one stage into another. And it, you know, there's so many different analogies I could draw here, but to keep it with kind of that idea of nature, I think about the idea of a butterfly going through metamorphosis, that there is this period of change and a bit of chaos that occurs, that bridges the gap from being the caterpillar to the butterfly. The same thing essentially occurs in organizations where a stage one business becoming a stage two business has this transition zone, which can be a wind tunnel or a flood zone. And they differ in some important ways, but they both feel like chaos. They both feel like this, you know, going away from the old and coming into the new. When we're talking about a wind tunnel is really where the things that used to, the structures that used to support you, that used to work, they start either failing altogether or just being, instead of being enabling of the organization to move forward, they start to hinder the organization. This could be as technical or as logistical as internal systems that can't handle new volumes, handle new types of work that are being brought on. And so the mindset in a wind tunnel is you have to be willing to kind of blow out the old things that are not serving you and be willing to invest in and look at things that are going to better serve you in your new stage. The flood zone, it feels like chaos, but it typically is from a volume of work, of things going on. It's less of chaos because things stop working and more from a sheer amount of work to be done. They oscillate through the stages of growth. It seems I don't know, odd, but that's just the research has shown that. And in my personal experience, both with our organization and then organizations we've worked with, it's true. It really does almost like clockwork happen. The biggest thing is if you're aware of it, if you know that's what you're headed into, it's much less unsettling than if it catches you by surprise.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for clarifying that. That my own curiosity. That's the beauty of having your own podcast. You can satisfy your own curiosity. Just before I let you go, and I have one more question after this. What's your last song, Madeline? And now that we've gone through the greatest showman with the Build a Boat, what's the third one?
Okay, so this is actually challenging. I think it is Once in a Lifetime by Landon Austin, and it's just a love song. It's just a love song. I am continually appreciative of the relationship that my husband and I have built. I know that not all marriages, well, our marriage is far from perfect, and I know that that's the case for most people, but our partnership in life, in business, in parenthood, in all these things is one of the most fulfilling things. And I do, the song is about you're this person being your once in a lifetime. And that's definitely the case for my husband.
Summer rain is passing over, and it feels like a dream. I could run and look for shelter, but you hold on to me. I'm under your skies.
So just before I let you go, so you're building this beautiful ark with your Rewild group. Is there any pairs, any pair or animal you're going to leave behind? Or are you willing to take on all of us?
Well, if we're talking about animals, snakes and wasps, I would leave behind for sure. Sometimes people will ask, you know, what's your ideal client? You know, and we have a unique business because a lot of the actual consulting is done by advisors, and we have such a vast group, just very, very different types of people, types of specialties. But the answer is really simple, and it's a business leader that wants to grow. I mean, it doesn't really matter what industry they're in. It doesn't really matter how long they've had the business, any of that. It's someone who wants to grow, wants to learn, is open to new ideas. Any business, I think any business, small and mid-sized, can benefit from this. Reading a book, attending a workshop, you don't have to go all in to get a lot of benefit out of it either, which is something I appreciate, because you can easily take insights, have them benefit your business without spending a ton of money or time. And some businesses do need the extra assistance and guidance, but some of them don't. We self-implemented, if you could call it that. We had a book, and we learned from it. Later in our journey, you know, probably 2.5 years in, we did do some consulting with the creator of the methodology. But we did a lot of work ourselves. So my heart is always with those self-implementers that are up late at night, you know, just trying to find the ways to solve the problem their businesses is facing. And that's what, you know, that's a lot of what we spend our time creating is content for those individuals.
Okay. The very last question. I will say the last question. They have another one. So I'm going to book our next call for the 7th of September, 2042, right? And I'm going to meet you again in 20 years time with one of these implementers that you're talking about. And I'm going to ask him or her a question. What would you like him to say about you? I'm going to say, what did Madeline do for you? What would you like them to, what would you like them to say? What do you think they will say?
I hope that what they would say is that she always met me where I was and helped me get closer to that version of myself I thought I could be. I am a fierce cheerleader for anyone willing to do the work. And also equally as willing to walk away from someone who isn't. But being in partnership and working collaboratively with people who are trying to do great things, I am always going to be, a devoted team member, and partner in that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We will schedule that call now and then we'll talk again. Okay. Listen, Madhu, it's been absolutely a pleasure to meet you and to hear from you. A wonderful story. And we could talk for a lot longer and I would love to know a lot more about your personal life, not because I'm curious, but because I think you have a lot to add to, you know, to all of us that are parents and that, you know, we could take from your experience and how you're doing it. So I really appreciate it. Unfortunately, my kids are grown up, so I missed that boat. I've done it my way, but, you know, hopefully it was a good way. But I love the way you're and I'm sure your kids will thank you for it very soon when they realize it might be 25, so. 26, yeah, 28.
It might be around the time of that next call. Yeah.
So listen, Madeline Dunlop of the Rewild Group, again, thanks a million for joining me. We shall talk to you soon.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
And I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Madeline Dunlop of the Rewild Group. For more conversations and more guests, please visit socialfabric.ie or wherever you get your podcast.
Can I call you up, oh Alice, on a Friday night? We could reminisce on old days and we could talk a while. Just sit and talk a while. Been so long now since I've seen you, it's nearly 10 years gone. Heard in April that you passed through, why didn't you call? Don't I deserve a call? This ain't no love song, baby, or sad farewell. You've been on.